The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread when the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. So this should sound familiar to you, okay? For those of you daily massers and gospel junkies who have heard this many times, this is the beginning of the Gospel of John chapter 6, which is known as the Bread of Life Discourse. And it's the longest section in the Bible all about the Eucharist. So I want to ask you to think about something this morning. Think about the Eucharist for just a second and recognize that the Eucharist is one subject on which you cannot be neutral. Because we make an extraordinary claim. What we claim that Jesus is the one who said this, but we make an extraordinary claim as Catholics that the Eucharist is actually Jesus himself. That's astonishing. And you can't be neutral about that. Because either it is or it isn't. We say it's not just a memorial of Jesus, or, you know, kind of like the spirit of Jesus inhabiting the bread somehow. No, we say it's actually him, and that's just a disguise. It's not really bread. Extraordinary claim. Now, either that's true or that's false. But the one thing you can't be on that is neutral. If that's false, then we Catholics are the most deluded fools. Because we bow down and worship a piece of bread. And you look at that tabernacle up there. I mean, we could have saved a lot of money on that thing, right? We could have just hosted the Blessed Sacrament in Tupperware and left it back in a closet someplace. If we're wrong about that, we're idolaters, bowing down and worshiping a piece of bread. But if we're right about that, that changes everything. That changes everything. Because that means that Jesus is actually right here. And not only that, that means you actually receive him as your food. It means that he's with you, or that he's never left us. And if that's true, then no matter what happens in your life, I don't care how painful it is, I don't care how difficult it is to understand, whatever happens to you in your life, you're going to be okay with it. Okay, that's why Jesus begins the Bread of Life discourse the way he does. He says, amen, I say to you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for food that perishes. Work for food that endures for eternal life. It's the only time Jesus ever reprimands anybody for following him. And he reprimands them because they're following him for the wrong reasons. He just finished multiplying the loaves and the fishes. They had a meal. And now they're hungry again. And they want another meal. So they go back to the one who gave them the last meal. And Jesus says, you got it all wrong. Stop looking to what I can give you and start looking to me. Now that's what he wants to say to you and me too. Okay, so think about this for just a moment. When you pray, what does your prayer sound like? Do you pray mostly things that sound something like this? God, give me this, and God, give me that. God, fix this problem, and God, fix that problem. Is that what your prayer sounds like? Now, please don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with prayer as a petition, okay? But unless you're rooted in the presence of God, who alone makes sense of all the mysteries of life, then you're just like these people here in the gospel who had their fill and now they want another fill. And Jesus' words to them are his words to you. Stop looking to what I can give you and start looking to me. Because if he's with you, that's all you're going to need. This is the secret of the saints. They didn't expect life to be easy. They knew that things sometimes looked really bad and things often made no sense at all, but they knew that Jesus was with them and they were with him. And that was the source of their peace. That was the source of their joy. You could say our whole faith reduces to this. Your deep awareness of the reality of God's union with you and your union with him. It's like heaven in anticipation. That's what Jesus wants you to know. That's something to keep in mind now as you hear the Bread of Life discourse. So we have this unvoiced expectation in our lives that if we do what God wants, God will do what we want and save us from difficult times and troublesome people, right? But it doesn't work like that. You know it doesn't work like that. God never promised it would be easy. He did, however, promise to always be with us, and that makes everything beautiful. When I stand up here at Mass and I hold up the host, and just for one moment at least, I know that I'm with him and he's with me, and no matter what's happened, everything's going to be okay. That's what he wants you to experience as well. Trust in him, hope in him, and you will never hope in vain. Amen.